I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5 tonight. Genesis chapter 5. There's a great description here of a man that I want us to take a closer look at his life. Let me remind you of some splendid descriptions found throughout Scripture. One is David is described two times in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. A lot more we could say about that. But what a wonderful epitaph that would be. Abraham is called the friend of God three times in Scripture. And what a splendid description for you and for me to be called by God his friend. Noah is described, Numbers 12, verse 3, as the meekest man, or some versions have the most humble man in all the earth. But Enoch is the one I want us to consider tonight, as he is one of the heroes of faith and faith's hall of fame in Hebrews 11. Enoch is said to have walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Let's notice the record, first of all, in Genesis chapter 5. And not much said about him or his life, but I think several lessons to be learned. Let's look at the record itself, Genesis chapter 5, and I want to go ahead and read the text, verses 21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So again, a very brief reference to Enoch. There are a couple of other references in Scripture that we'll observe. But what a mouthful that is said. Enoch walked with God. Walked, we recognize it, has a literal and figurative meaning. Literally, we understand putting one foot in front of the other to advance. But figuratively, it means to pursue a course of life, to regulate one's life, to associate with or be a companion with one. And that's certainly what is meant when it is said of Enoch. He walked with God. What does that mean? That he walked with God. Let me read to you some definitions that have been given by some scholars about what that phrase means and what it meant in that time. One commentary stated it this way: walked with God is a common phrase in Eastern countries, indicating constant, familiar, and confidential communion. And that tells us a lot about Enoch and about his relationship with God. Another wrote, it portrays intimacy and implies a situation of nearness to God, if not in place, at least in spirit. Only Enoch and Noah are described in Scripture by this very phrase, that they walked with God. Both of them realized God's presence and enjoyed his communion in an extraordinary measure. Enoch walked with God. Though there's not much said about Enoch, but though that is a powerful statement, there are some things I believe we can glean even from this text about his walk with God. The first one is that he walked with God despite the prevalence of sin. How do we know that sin was so prevalent in Enoch's time? Because his time, the time that he lived, were the years preceding the global flood of Noah. And we know about the wickedness of the world in Noah's day. In fact, we'll read just a few verses later, Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. Enoch lived in those years just preceding the destruction of the world by the flood. And so we see that it was likely during that time that wickedness was only growing worse and worse. But yet, despite the society, the wickedness of it, Enoch walked with God. Enoch demonstrates to us that a man can live right even in evil conditions. Even in a wicked society, we can still live for God and live a righteous life. Joseph did it while he lived in Egypt. Daniel did it while he lived in Babylon. But Enoch demonstrates again in a powerful way that we can live right in a world gone wrong. I like what one writer suggests. It's possible, it is possible to know God and walk with Him even in the darkest of times. Enoch didn't live in good times, but he was a good man. Circumstances don't have to determine character. They can. They often influence one's character, but they don't determine it if we don't allow it. It could have been Enoch's example that inspired this New Testament appeal. Philippians 2, 15 and 16, 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault. Where? In what context? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Paul's challenge to these Christians in Philippi, and God's challenge to you and to me today, is to continue to shine as lights in a crooked and perverse world. Even when society is not striving to live right, even when society has wrong values, Enoch demonstrates we can still live right in a world go wrong, in a world gone wrong. Notice something else about Enoch. He walked with God even though it was unpopular. We might infer that from just knowing that he lived in wicked times, and yet he walked with God. We recognize how he would have been unpopular. But there's another reference in the scripture in the New Testament, Jude verses 14 and 15, that speaks about Enoch. Notice what it is said about him. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, his holy ones, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So Jude tells us some things that Enoch talked about when he was living, when he was walking with God in a world that wasn't. He was prophesying against them, talking about these, even identifying these ungodly people who are behaving in an ungodly way, and warned them about God's judgment. So Enoch walked with God, even spoke out for God and against evil, even though it was unpopular. We must walk with God, even though it's not the popular thing to do. Someone has written this poem: "The world needs men and women who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success. We need men and women who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although all the rest of the world says yes." And I believe that description could well have been said of Enoch. He walked with God, even though it was unpopular. And by his example and God's will, calls us to do the same. Notice the third thing. He walked with God in the prime of busy manhood. In the prime of busy manhood. Wait a second. He was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. You saying he's in the prime of manhood at 65? Those 65 are saying amen to that, I'm sure. But you, especially if you look back at how long these men lived back in this time before the flood. They lived very long years. And so the prime of life perhaps was 300 and over. But it was at this age of busy manhood that the scripture says he walked with God, even though it was unpopular. You know, I'm afraid that many in the world would suggest that Christianity is for children, for women, perhaps for the elderly. But the truth is, Christianity is for all. When we're young, when we're old, when we're in between. Enoch shows this by his life. He lived a righteous life in the prime of busy manhood. Fourthly, he walked with God over a long period of time. Look with me, verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. He walked with God. He had that special relationship with God, that close relationship with God for 300 years. What does God want from us? He wants us to walk with him all of our lives, for our entire lives. Be faithful until death, Jesus says, and I will give you the crown of life. Likely he was saying in that context, be faithful even if it means you die for me. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. But the application is also true. We need to be faithful until we die for all of our lives. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Paul says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, but if we deny him, he will also deny us. God wants us to be faithful to him all of our lives, just as Enoch was in his. But look at verse 22 again. And notice that Enoch walked with God in the midst of domestic cares, being a father. Notice the reading again carefully. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Could it be that it was when Enoch became a father that he began to recognize the importance of walking with God? At first glance, it would seem to suggest that it's after he begot Methuselah. Granted, it could be that Enoch continued to walk with God for another 300 years. But would it surprise us if that close walk with God, he didn't feel that burden, that necessity of it, the importance of it, until after he became a father? I believe in many of our experiences, perhaps we ourselves, or we have known of others, who really got serious about their walk with God when children were born into their family. There's something about having children that causes us to recognize, hey, there's more to life than just me. And I want, how many times have you heard, I want my children to be raised in church? Oh, that would happen all the time, that we, all people, would recognize the importance of walking with God even before they become parents, but especially when they become parents. Perhaps Enoch shows us with his life that he did recognize the importance of walking with God. Some Bible scholars think Enoch's prophetic call may have come with the birth, or the time of the birth of Methuselah. They draw that from the name Methuselah, which means when he dies, judgment. Methuselah means, the name means, when he dies, judgment. We know Methuselah as being the oldest man, the man who lived the longest, 969 years. But if you look at the record here in Genesis chapter 5, there's something very, very interesting. You calculate the ages and you'll find that Methuselah died the year of the flood. Methuselah died the year of the flood. Methuselah's name again means when he dies, judgment. Perhaps that's at the birth of Methuselah, some are saying that that's when he received his call to be a prophet. And he began to prophesy to people around him, as Jude indicates, about that coming judgment of God. But that perhaps began when Methuselah was born. It does not say that Methuselah died in the flood, but in the year of the flood, as we calculate those ages. But all that being said, isn't that an important lesson for you and for me? That we need to walk with God, not only because we need that relationship with Him for our own salvation, but we recognize that how, to what extent our children will walk with God, we have a big impact on that. Enoch walked with God even during that busy time of domestic care, being a father. A father overheard a conversation between his son and two other boys. They were bragging about their dads to one another. One little boy bragged, "Well, my dad knows the mayor." Another one said, "Well, that's nothing. My dad knows the governor of our state." And then the man that was overhearing this conversation noted that his son said, "Oh yeah, well, my dad knows God." That father quickly turned away and prayed, "Oh God, I pray that my boy will always be able to say, my dad knows God." Would that all of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren know that of us. We know God. We are walking with God. Methuselah could say that of Enoch, for Enoch walked with God. That's the record. Notice, secondly, the relevance. And the question remains, how can we walk with God? What is meant when it says Enoch walked with God, but even more, how can we walk with God? Well, number one, there must be agreement. Amos, the prophet, asks this question, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" And the answer is obviously, there must be agreement. There must be agreement in order for two to have that relationship. So what does it mean to walk with God in agreement? I believe it would mean having unity of purpose. Walking with God would mean walking in line with His purposes, desiring to do His will and not our own. If our purpose is to live for ourselves or live for sin, we cannot walk with God. It would also include unity of action, being involved in the work of God. If we're not active in the work of God, we're not walking with Him. You remember Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad." If you want to walk with me, Jesus is saying, you've got to work with me. We've got to be unified in action. Thirdly, it also would obviously mean unity of direction, that we take our direction from God, that we walk in harmony with His will. And I see this as a main part of this walking in agreement with God. That we ask ourselves, in what direction are we headed? That we ask ourselves, are we going God's way? And if we can respond in the affirmative and back it up with our lives, that's what it means to walk with God, to travel with God in the same direction. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." Moses, as he repeated the law, was challenging the Israelites to walk with God. And that meant to walk in His ways as He had commanded. It would also include walking with God, unity of motive, to live with the same motive in mind and in heart. In other words, we must walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, "Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love." as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. To walk with God would mean to walk in love, to love others as he has loved us. Story was told long ago about a little boy standing on the hot air register outside a bakery shop in his bare feet, trying to keep warm. A lady came by, and after a few words with a barefooted boy, she brought him into the shoe store, bought him a new pair of shoes and some socks. And he was trying to thank her and was rather awkward, but he asked this question of this lady, "Are you God's wife?" Taken aback by the question, and she took some time before replying, but finally thought of this response, "No, son, I'm not his wife, but I am one of his children." And he responded, "Well, I knew you must be some kin to him." Would that be said of us? I know you must be of some kin. You must be one of his children because you walk in love. Walking with God means walking in agreement, but it also means walking in faith. And that's what the Hebrews writer reminds us about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That leads us right into verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But Enoch, his life, his legacy, that he walked with God, he's teaching us that one part of that walking with God is walking in faith. I like what Merrill Tenney wrote. The secret of his walk with God was faith. Faith was the ground of his pleasing God. His pleasing God was the ground of his being translated that he should not see death. Which leads us to the third and final point. That is the reward. The reward that Enoch enjoyed. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. Again in the Hebrews letter, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Enoch did not die. God took him, brought him to himself. God has taken one in each dispensation of time. In the patriarchal age, it was Enoch. God took him. In the Mosaical age, it was Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11. It happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah did not die, but went up into heaven. The Christian age, it was Jesus. Though he did die, he rose again and then ascended back into heaven. But Enoch and Elijah were carried over the gates of death to be with God. This could be a picture of the reward that saints who are still alive will enjoy when the Lord returns. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? Those who have been raised, the dead in Christ that have been raised, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We're led to believe, especially from Hebrews 11 verse 5, that God took Enoch in order that he might reward Enoch for his good life. After it says God took him, it says, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Therefore, God took him. The Lord hasn't promised to translate us, to take us in the same way he did Enoch if we serve him. But he has promised that if we walk with him now, when he comes back to claim his own, that we will go where he is that we may be with him. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If we walk with him, we will enjoy an eternal reward. I want to close with one little girl's explanation of Enoch's story that I think you'll appreciate. Enoch and God were such good friends. They would take long walks together every day. One day they got so involved talking to one another that they didn't even realize how far they had walked. Finally, God noticed how late it was and said to Enoch, "Enoch, my friend, we've walked too far today. It's too late to go back now. Why don't you just come home with me today?" And he did. I don't think that's the way it happened, but it's a beautiful understanding to me. It does reflect the truth that Enoch walked with God, that there was that close relationship, and that God recognized that even despite the wicked society in which he lived. But he sought to reward Enoch for his faithful walk, that he took him to heaven. Enoch's walk pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. May we, by faith, walk with God, in agreement with him, with the same purposes, direction, motive. May we walk in faith, that we too may live lives pleasing to him. What greater reward could there be than one day to hear the master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Are you walking with God tonight? Enoch shows us by his life that it's possible. It doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean submission to him. Perhaps there are some that need to submit their lives in obedience to God. Perhaps there's others that need the prayers of the church to help us get back on track to renewing our commitment to walk with him. If that be the desire of your heart tonight, won't you come and let that be known as together we stand and sing.